Hello, and welcome to Walking with the Tengu, a podcast exploring classic texts for the modern martial artist. It is unfortunate, but I've seen stealing in schools before. Sometimes it's been outright clumsy and obvious. Other times it's been much more subtle, such that it would be very hard to identify. It may even be justified and supported by a selection of the community. Today, we look at what Daidoji Yuzan had to say to young samurai in the Budo Shoshinshu about the difference between a thief and someone with authority and power who steals. Yuzan starts off by laying the scene for stealing that is understandable. He describes for us someone who breaks in through the back door or steals a purse or wallet. Naturally, Yuzan says this is wrong. However, he then recalls an old saying, which I think translates to something about how people are a product of their circumstances, and if those circumstances aren't there, then judgment is lacking. I had to look at the William Scott Wilson translation to get a better understanding of this part. He translates it as, "However, a saying of the ancients has it that a man who has no constant employment will have an inconstant mind." Yuzan recalls this statement to point out that while it is wrong to steal, when a person is suffering from hunger and cold, when they have no other recourse and are pushed to the brink, they may steal, knowing that the punishment is harsh if they are caught. Yuzan makes the claim that one's position and wealth in life are, quote, matters of the will of heaven. We don't get to pick where, when, and to whom we are born. Those are outside our control. He says it is rare to find a person, even among the samurai, who does not resent hardship, and who would think nothing of dying of hunger and the cold. So, Yuzan points out that it is understandable how someone might steal to survive. He alludes here to an idea that our desires have a direct impact on how we view our place in life. He reminded me of a quote from Epictetus that goes, "Contentment comes not so much from great wealth as from few wants." Having started with this exception to the ethical standards around stealing, Daidoji now shifts his focus to members of the warrior class. Remember, he's writing these chapters as a kind of educational manual to young samurai boys, many who will grow up to be in hereditary positions of power. He points out that because warriors serve a lord, they carry a sword, and are allowed to have a family name. It wasn't until the Meiji era in the 1800s that most Japanese commoners got family names. Even today, you can tell where these names originated, as they differ drastically from the pre-modern era family names. Names like Tanaka, which is middle of the rice field, Yamada, mountain rice field, Nakamura, in the village, and others all allude to people who got their family names as a part of the modernization efforts of the Meiji era, and as a reflection of their ancestors' class. Back in Daidoji's time, only the warrior class were allowed to have family names. He points to this and the sword carrying out to his audience to say that they should not regard themselves to be like the ordinary person who might be pressed to steal out of desperation to survive. They have constant employment and receive generous pay. Thus, they should strive to do their jobs with honesty and righteousness, without any greed, and solely for the purpose of serving their lord. Rightly so, Daidoji points out that they have it pretty good in life, and so they have no excuse to be stealing from anyone. But that's an ethical ideal. Unfortunately, Daidoji continues to describe the samurai who steals, bribes, and threatens others to line his own pockets. He says this kind of person is 10 times as bad as the thieves he described in the prior section. The social distance here comes into play. A common thief, even one who isn't stealing out of desperation, steals from strangers. The samurai who steals, though, takes from the lord who generously pays him, and treats his co-workers, other samurai, as morons for thinking they won't know what's going on. This thieving samurai may even go so far as to find someone higher up to bribe to help protect him from criticism. So other samurai, who know what is going on, are too afraid to speak up, and the stealing soon turns to theft not only of material goods, but of power as well. This kind of warrior, due to the thefts from his lord and the fear of his fellow samurai, then becomes an obstacle to the maintenance and administration of a good country. Yuzan then relates to us a story from the Ashikaga shogunate, which would have been from the late 14th to mid-16th centuries. A particular governor requested that a famous painter make a painting of him when he was only a common samurai. He then took that painting and hung it in a place where he could see it day and night as a reminder of where he came from. Apparently, he had a habit of saying that when one is in a good place, it is essential to not forget one's lowly origins. So how do we relate this to the martial arts in our day and age? First, Yuzan just gave us a practical example. It doesn't have to be a painting. It could be something from your early training days, something that reminds you of what it was like to be new. But like that governor with his painting, should we find ourselves in good times, we should always remember what it's like when things are hard. While we may not exist within the class structure of feudal Japan, the ethical principles still apply, regardless of the culture or time period. Fundamentally, most ethical choices can be reduced down to a decision about selfishness, of doing something that either satisfies our own desires at the expense of others, or making choices that take their impact on others into account. There's this weird tension in martial arts communities where the people in them fall somewhere on the spectrum of either a second family to simply customers in a gym, with little to no social ties to either the instructor or the classmates. There are, of course, examples of schools who fall along this spectrum, and sometimes there will be a mixture of people inside of one school. The connection here is that our ethical choices have greater impact when we have social and emotional ties to the people we train with. If we take advantage of our instructors' and classmates' goodwill, we effectively become thieves in the same sense that Daidoji Yuzan speaks of a samurai who takes advantage of his own clan. Conversely, of course, if someone in our community takes advantage of either the school or the people in it, the same ethical damage occurs. If a random desperate person came by, smashed a window, and stole some things to pawn to get food, yeah, it sucks, and it's wrong. But it's also a little understandable. If a student or a teacher in your community were to start stealing things from people's bags, lockers, or whatever, that is far worse. As Daidoji puts it, that person is 10 times worse than the common thief, especially so if they're in a position of power and authority. One of the key elements of good martial training is to practice in a good, healthy community. If you can't trust your training partners to care about your health and safety, you can't really trust the school. By extension, if they don't care about your health, hurting you effectively becomes stealing your training time and skill development. It's not that big of a jump to see someone who doesn't care about your health to also not care about your private possessions. I'm not talking about accidental and unintended injuries, of course. You'll know the difference when you see it. Watch how your instructors and training partners treat each other. The small, unimportant things tell you about the big, important things. If you can't trust someone with something small, then you can be certain you can't trust them with something big. Spend some time thinking on this, and remember to not just talk about your philosophy, but like your martial art, live it. That's all for today. Please help the podcast out by sharing and telling people about it. The best way you can help us is just by letting people know that it's out there and what it's got you thinking about. Thank you for listening, and talk to you again soon.